It's good to have you here with me today. Thanks for listening. And when we last spoke, I encouraged you to read Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 56. This is a stretch of time in the ministry of Jesus Christ, God's Son, where we witness up close and personal the power of God. God is power, and this aspect to the divine nature of our great God is our focus this week on God Is. In these verses in Luke 8, Jesus uses his power to calm the storm, exorcise or cast out demons from a man, heal a bleeding woman, and raise a little girl from the dead. Jesus displays the power of God. So return with me, if you would, to Luke 8. I am attempting to highlight for you from the scripture the power of God as it flows forth from God the Father, Jesus the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We'll come to the Holy Spirit soon enough, but first let's proceed through this 8th chapter of Luke. Today we begin reading at verse 26, and I'll read all the way to verse 39 before commenting. Here now, and in its entirety, is the true story of what happened when Jesus met a demon-possessed man. Luke 8, verses 26 through 39. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee, and when Jesus came out onto the land, Jesus was met by a man from the city who was possessed with demons, and who had not put on any clothing for a long time, and was not living in a house, but in the tombs. Seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell before him, and said in a loud voice, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had seized him many times, and he was bound with chains and shackles and kept under guard, and yet he would break his bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They were imploring Jesus not to command them to go away into the abyss. Now there was a herd of many swine feeding there on the mountain, and the demons implored Jesus to permit them to enter the swine. And Jesus gave them permission. And the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran away and reported it in the city and out in the country. The people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it reported to them how the man who was demon-possessed had been made well. And all the people of the country of the Gerasenes and the surrounding district asked Jesus to leave them, for they were gripped with great fear. And Jesus got into a boat and returned. But the man from whom the demon had gone out was begging Jesus that he might accompany him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. That's a bit of a lengthy reading for us today, but it gives you the entire story. And if you've been with us, then you know we have already covered verses 26 through 29 in detail. Should you have missed that discussion, just go download the God Is podcast today and listen. That free podcast is found at 590amtheword.com. That's 590amtheword.com. You click podcast at the top of the homepage, and then God Is, and you can listen to what I've taught about the beginning of Jesus' encounter with this demoniac. But now, I want you to recall one insight I gave you on Friday. It was this: the demons know who Jesus is, and therefore they know that he is all-powerful. The response of the demons here and elsewhere in the Gospels demonstrates for us that Jesus has authoritative power over Satan and his minions. That was my first insight into the text, and now we'll continue with further insights. Let's go to verse 30, and I want you to notice that Jesus speaks to the man and gets a, humanly speaking, terrifying answer. I'll read verse 30 again. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. Legion. That means this man isn't just possessed by one demon, but rather by an army of them. The term legion is actually a Latin term, but here it is used as applied to the Roman military. A legion was an infantry of 6,000 Roman soldiers. Are there exactly 6,000 demons in the man? Maybe, maybe not. But the point is, he's been infiltrated by a large number from Satan's army. Notice how the end of verse 30 affirms this. For many demons had entered him. But why did Jesus ask such a question? Didn't Jesus know how many demons he was dealing with? Yes, Jesus knew. But he asked the question for the benefit of those watching the scene unfold. Jesus is about to demonstrate the power of God, and he wants the bystanders there and us today to know just how mighty his power actually is. The demons, remember, already know of Christ's power, and we see that again in their request in verse 31. I'll also read that verse again. These are now the demons themselves speaking to the Lord. They were imploring Jesus not to command them to go away into the abyss. And the abyss to which they refer is not the steep bank that we're about to read about. The abyss clearly refers to the deepest, darkest pit in hell. There are references to this place elsewhere in the New Testament. Without taking us too far off course, let me just read to you 2 Peter 2, verse 4, and Jude 6. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, Peter writes about this abyss. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment. And angels there refers to fallen angels, sinning angels like Satan and the angels he took with him in the heavenly rebellion. And where are they? They're pinned down in the pits of darkness. And then Jude chapter 1 and verse 6. Jude is only one chapter long. And angels who did not keep their own domain but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Again, fallen angels, and notice they are kept in eternal bonds in darkness. They're forever bound in this pit. It is this abyss that the demons in Luke 8 do not want to go to. And having read about this section of hell in 2 Peter and Jude now, we know why they did not want to be sent there. Jesus has the power to send them wherever he wants, and in the next two verses, we learn where the legion goes. This is verses 32 to 33 of Luke 8. Now there was a herd of many swine feeding there in the mountain, and the demons implored Jesus to permit them to enter the swine. And Jesus gave them permission, and the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. Jesus uses his power to deliver the demons from the man to the pigs, which are promptly driven over the cliff and into the water below. There, my friends, once again is God's power, his power. And my first insight into this demonstration of God's power by Jesus is that the demons know who Jesus is, and therefore they know he is all-powerful. And my second insight is this: Jesus commands the demons, and the demons do exactly what Jesus commands. Legion isn't putting up any fight. Jesus is not like some superhero in a movie who, in an epic battle with his enemy, if the hero fights hard enough and gets some good breaks, he can win. No. Jesus is power, and he orders the demons to the swine, and off they go. Jesus wins, and he wins every single time he squares off against the devil. Every time. And now, as we come to the end of this second episode of Divine Power in Luke 8, notice there are two different reactions from the onlookers to Jesus' might. The herdsmen, which had to be Gentiles, non-Jews, since they were herding pigs, forbidden in the Jewish diet, ran off to the city and other parts of the countryside and reported what Jesus did. At this, the crowds rushed out to the tombs where this took place and were astonished to find the formerly demon-possessed man clothed and in his right mind. But that made them fearful. And so instead of the herdsmen and the crowd taking this opportunity to put their faith and belief in Jesus Christ, sadly and tragically, they let their fear spawn disbelief. Verse 37 says they asked Jesus to leave their area because they were gripped with great fear. And so Jesus got back into the boat in which he came and leaves. That's one reaction. And the second reaction is that of the man once dominated by the demons and now set free. Unlike the herdsmen and the crowd, he is immediately drawn to Christ. Verse 38 says, "But the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging Jesus that he might accompany him." This man is a convert to Christ. He wants to follow him. And that right there is the proper response to the manifestation of the power of God. Here is my third insight into this text. When the power of God is displayed in your life, the response is to follow Jesus Christ. How many of you have time and again experienced God's power, and yet you still have not thrown your full faith onto Jesus? Maybe sometime in the past, the Lord demonstrated to you his authority, and you may have even promised him that if he got you out of the mess you were in, that you'd do X, Y, and Z for him. Have you done it? This man set free wants to follow Jesus. Are you following Jesus today? Or are you following him as closely as he commands? One possible response to Christ is to tell him to leave, to get away from you. But the other possible response is to beg to follow him. Verse 39 makes this clear. This man had no empty request of the Christ. Jesus actually rejects his request and instead tells the man to return to his house and describe what great things God has done for you. Proving the man remained faithful to the Lord, verse 39 continues, "So he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him." Because of his newfound faith in Jesus, the man became an evangelist. Now saved from his sin and demonic possession, he went around telling everyone about Jesus Christ. How about us? Isn't this story very convicting? Dear Christian, remember what the power of the Lord Jesus has done for you. He has saved you from the grip of sin. He has redeemed you from the devil. God's power demands the same kind of action that animated the life of the formerly possessed Gerasene. That's the message here. And more on the power of God tomorrow on God Is.